You're listening to VPR. Good afternoon. I'm Alex Keefe. Canadians are now considering what to do now that the country's highest court has struck down a ban on doctor-assisted suicide. That was the unanimous ruling from the Supreme Court of Canada on Friday. The judges found that consenting adults should be able to choose to end their own lives if they're enduring intolerable suffering due to a, quote, grievous or irremediable medical condition. We're now going to get some help understanding exactly what this ruling means for Canadians. We're joined by Professor Daniel Weinstock. He heads up McGill University's Institute for Health and Social Policy in Montreal. Professor, welcome.
Hello.
And we should disclose at the outset that you do support legalizing doctor-assisted suicide.
I do. I was signatory of a report of the Royal Society of Canada that was actually mentioned in the Supreme Court's ruling.
So give us the lay of the legal land after Friday's ruling. Does anything change right away in Canada?
Well, nothing changes right away. Basically, two articles of the Criminal Code of Canada, which make the aiding someone to commit suicide under any circumstances, including physicians helping their grievously sick patients, making that criminal under any circumstances. So those are now judged to be unconstitutional, but they are not immediately struck. The government is given a year in which to redraft legislation that complies, or simply, as it could do, just let the two articles lapse.
I'll ask you for a brief history of this issue in Canada. How did this specific case come about, and what have the debates been like among Canadians?
Well, we have to go back to 1993 when a judgment was issued in the case of Sue Rodriguez, a woman from British Columbia, who was afflicted with exactly the same disease or condition that Gloria Taylor was, which is what is called Lou Gehrig's disease, a neurodegenerative disease, which basically wastes people's bodies away in an absolutely awful way. So in 1993, a 5-4 split court decided that the criminal provisions that were struck down on Friday should be maintained. And the basic idea there was that there was concern for vulnerable Canadians. No jurisdiction anywhere in the world at that point had taken the step of decriminalizing physician-assisted dying. And so the thought was, we don't know where this might go.
Has Canadian public opinion also changed during that time?
Public opinion has changed a great deal. There's a lot of regional variation. Quebec, the province that I'm sitting in now, is probably the province that has had shown the most support for decriminalization of physician-assisted suicide. Indeed, Quebec has introduced its own legislation last year, sort of notwithstanding the criminal prohibition at the federal level.
The language of the court's ruling on Friday has raised some questions about whether it allows someone to end their life due to a depression or mental illness versus just for a terminal illness. Is it possible that would be allowed to end your life under those circumstances?
So the court has been extremely careful in not overstepping its bounds and doing, as it were, what the legislature should do. One thing that the court really is quite concerned with is that the legislation that comes out either of provinces or the federal government not be too narrow. In other words, that it not restrict physician-assisted dying, as is the case in the Quebec law, to people who are literally at the end of life. And it might vary from province to province. There is a scenario according to which the federal government basically punts this to the provinces and says, look, you work it out for yourselves. And so we might have regional variation.
Professor Daniel Weinstock heads up McGill University's Institute for Health and Social Policy in Montreal. We've been talking about the Canadian Supreme Court's ruling legalizing doctor-assisted suicide last week. Professor, thanks for your time.
Welcome.